Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Carlos Barcena, a patent examiner. Thank you for your time, and let's jump right into the questions. So first of all, could you briefly explain what exactly a patent is and your role as a patent examiner?
Thank you very much for having me. Yes, so a patent is a right to exclude others from making, using, or selling your invention for a specific period of time. So in exchange for fully disclosing your invention, the U.S. government will give you exclusive rights to a certain period of time, in this case being 20 years from filing.
And as a patent examiner, what are the different responsibilities that fall under your umbrella?
So I primarily deal with, so we have a trademark and a patent side. I deal with patents, and I deal specifically with batteries and fuel cells. We have all kinds of different areas, but I deal with just, like I said, batteries and patent applications.
And what made you to consider a career in the government over the corporate sector?
Well, I wasn't really considering government work. Initially, I thought I was going to go into industry, having a background in chemistry and chemical engineering. But then I did a year of work at Dow Chemical, and I realized I didn't really want to spend the rest of my life, or career-wise, 30 years working in a factory or in a lab. And it just happened that I went to an ACS meeting in New Orleans that year to interview with different companies. And I was lucky enough to find, or they were lucky enough to find me. And I decided that it was actually a really good fit to go work into government.
And I believe you pursued a Bachelor's of Science at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. So what was exactly your major in college, and what led you to narrowing it down to that specific major, and what other majors might be useful to the work that you do today?
So yes, I graduated from RPI in 2001 with a degree in chemical engineering. And the reason I pursued chemical engineering was, so my parents are from Mexico, and I grew up speaking only Spanish till I was about 8 years old. So in school, I always struggled a little bit with English and history, but math and science just came more naturally to me. So that's why I gravitated more towards the science careers. So when I went to RPI, chemical engineering was a very good decision for me. At St. Mark's, my chemistry teacher was Mr. Haig, and he really inspired me. So that's primarily why I did it.
And then after your bachelor's degree, you also pursued a master's and a PhD. So do those really help in your role as a patent examiner? And if yes, like what other types of master's degrees or PhDs would you recommend?
So does it help? It definitely helps. Is it required? No, it's not required. The reason it helps is because it gives more experience, and I saw a lot more things in real life. So when patent applications get filed, the things they file have to do with certain techniques or things they do. And by already seeing them, it gives me a great advantage to understand the application better, so I can do the work easier and faster. If I just had an undergraduate degree, then I would probably take a little longer to understand what was going on. Not struggle, but it would just be more challenging. So I definitely think that having an advanced degree, in my case, helped. What other majors? So in this case, it's just specific to the area you work with. We do all kinds of patents applications, from toys to games to computer science to electrical to mechanical to everything. So it just depends on the specific area you're working on.
And as like being a patent examiner is like a pretty unique career, is the training that's required for like the daily job, is that mostly provided by the government, or is there some sort of prior experience or some sorts of like internships or something that might help in doing that?
So being a patent examiner is a very niche type of career choice, definitely. The patent office, I think there's currently about 10,000 employees plus minus, and about 8,000 of them are examiners. When I first joined, I joined in 2008, even currently today, they still have a patent academy. So everything you need, they do train you on the job. Currently, I believe it's about 10 weeks of training. So it's a fairly intensive training you have to go through in order to learn the job, because there's a lot of nuances and a lot of specific things you would need to do in order to succeed at the job. So yes, it definitely provides the on-site training that you need.
And in terms of any licenses or continuing education, are there any sorts of those things that exist in your job?
You don't need any further education, but they do provide continuing education options. For example, if you want to go learn or take more classes at college, they do provide a reimbursement for those classes. If you wanted to become a patent lawyer, you could definitely pursue that on a part-time basis as well. And at least part of it would be covered by the by them.
And you brought up the topic of like a patent lawyer. So the like intellectual property lawyer private practice like that seems to be like growing very recently. So is it easy for someone to transition from a patent examiner job to law firms to assist lawyers?
So I don't know how easy it would be to become a patent lawyer, because I've never been one. But I know that some firms would prefer their employees or the lawyers to have experience at the patent office. And a lot of times they encourage them to take a position at the patent office first, get some experience, and then transition over to the law firm. That's just a great benefit for them.
Could you briefly just talk about how a typical workday or work week looks like for you? Some of the daily responsibilities, number of hours, weekend or holiday schedule like that?
So a regular work day, work week, we go by bi-weeks, we go every 2 weeks. It's actually fairly boring, unfortunately. We work 80 hours in a bi-week. The great thing is we have a great flexibility in which hours we work. For example, if you need to take a mid-morning break one day, you can, and you can make those hours up at a later time. But as long as you work within 80 hours in a bi-week, the office generally doesn't care what hours you work. For me, generally, I like to get in early, so I'll get in between like 7:30, and then work till lunch, searching the patent application, and then I'll take like a after lunch break, maybe like an hour, and then just come back in the evening or afternoon and finish up the whatever hours I need, 2, 3, 4 hours for the rest of the day. So it's a typical work day, I would say. It is sitting in front of a computer, in front of a screen, unfortunately. So I have to force myself sometimes to take breaks, because you can just lose track of time just sitting in front of the computer, unfortunately.
How are the employment opportunities as a patent examiner? Is it easy to find a job these days, or is there?
Currently, I would say I wouldn't know how easy it is, but the office always seems to be hiring. So there is a attrition rate at the office, and we're always looking in general for new examiners, yes.
And what is your favorite aspect about the patent examiner job, and what do you like the least, or what are some challenges in the profession?
So my favorite part of the job is flexibility. So that's really great. So whatever hours I need to take off, I generally can. And it gives you work-life balance. So if I need to take time off, I can. And I think that's probably the biggest plus of the job. The second biggest plus is I can work anywhere I want in the U.S. So I'm not limited to working in Alexandria, where the office is. Initially, you might have to start there, but after your trial period, and you can move anywhere in the country. Like I said, right now I'm living in Dallas, but I know people that moved to California, Colorado, Florida, even Puerto Rico is an option. So great flexibility is available to you. The least thing I like about the office is probably the job itself. It's pretty challenging. The best way I can say it, it's probably like finding a needle in a haystack. They give you tools to find it, but you have to do it day in and day out. So every day you have to go out and try to find a unique idea, which after a while can get kind of tiring and annoying. So yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Just a little extension off of that question. Do you find that most of the patents that you examine are just like not unique and not like valid for patents, or?
No. So everything I issue is valid. I guess what you're trying to say is it going to blow my mind, or is it super creative? And the answer to that is no, unfortunately. So a lot of the patents I issue are small incremental improvements. So it's fine, but it's just not like nothing has crossed my desk. Maybe once a year, twice a year, an invention will cross my desk that's super creative and super like exciting that I really like to work on. But generally things are going to be incremental. And I think that's just the way the industry works. No one that I know of is going to come up with like a new battery or you know, something super exciting like that, at least not that I've seen.
Based on the knowledge and experience you have today, if you could go back in time to your high school or college years, would you do anything differently, like maybe focusing on one area over another, or developing some skills that at that time you didn't think were really important, or maybe working with or reaching out to more mentors, or anything else you would have done or avoided?
That's a tough question for me, because I don't think I would do anything terribly different. I think my path actually set me up quite well to do and succeed what I'm doing today. So that's something I think I would just keep the same, to be honest. If I would choose to do different things, I don't know if I would specifically off the top of my head, unfortunately. I like the path that I'm on. The patent office does give you some other opportunities other than just patent examining. So there are other outlets you could do within the office. But in general, I think my path was actually pretty good for the career choice that I've chosen.
Without going into specifics, how does compensation look, maybe relative to other government jobs or other professions or just in general?
So within the government, the patent office pays relatively well because we're highly specialized and skilled in what we do. Since I work for the federal government, the pay scales are public knowledge. So it's not a big deal for, at least for me. I'm currently a GS-14 examiner, primary examiner. So I can sign all my actions by myself. Compensation for a GS-14 examiner ranges from about $120,000 to about $160,000, depending on the number of years you work at the patent office. But generally, when I was hired, you start off at a GS either 5, 7, or 9, somewhere in there, I think. I'm trying to remember, it was a little bit a while ago. And compensation for a lower GS scale, like I said, you can look it up, but I think it started at about $50,000 or $60,000. And honestly, I don't know how the pay scale is compared to like a corporate world, because after graduate school, I went straight to the federal government. So I didn't actually experience corporate work before I started with the federal government.
In many professions, the interpersonal or soft skills are sometimes more important than the technical skills themselves. Do you feel like that does apply to your job? Or if not, like, what are some of the roles that interpersonal skills play, like in your day-to-day job?
Here, no, not so much. At least for technical work that I do, it's more important to have sound scientific ideas and thoughts and background, as opposed to like the soft skills. The soft skills you do need is you do need to interact with attorneys and clients and inventors. So you do need to pick up a phone every once in a while. You do need to speak with them, set up interviews. So of course, that's important to be able to talk to somebody. But I would say like 95% of the job is technical writing, technical and searching. So that is probably more important than being super outgoing, at least in my position.
Could you just briefly outline how a typical patent cycle looks like? If you receive a patent, what are the different steps that go from that point until like that is actually like an approved patent?
Sure. So an inventor files a patent application, and it generally takes about, I think we're currently between 12 to 18 months pendency. The office is trying to work on that, trying to get it down to about a year. So you do have to wait, unfortunately, a specific amount of time before it crosses my desk. Once it gets to my desk, then I look at it, I read it, and I issue what's called a first action. So a first action is just, depending on what art I find, we call it art, prior art, references against your idea. So if I find your idea, I will write up something formal, usually between, I'm trying to say, maybe like 6 pages on average, not too long, but I do give a legal rationale as to why your patent application is denied. And then I send that out. Generally, it's done through a patent lawyer, because patent law is quite complicated, so you need someone specific to look at it. So they generally hire someone, counsel, to help them and aid them in the process. After the first action, then they have a chance to respond. They can either challenge your rejection and by arguing, or they can amend the claims by changing the language, adding, subtracting, or changing things so it's different than the prior art that I found. Then they get basically a second bite of the apple. Then the application comes back to my desk, and I look at it again. At the second time, I make the decision either to allow the application or to go final. If I go final, then I just send out another action, either maintaining my prior rejection or finding new art based on their amendments. And at that point, prosecution is essentially over. They have a couple of options they can do. They can file what's called an after final, where let's say perhaps I indicated some things are allowable. They can amend the claims into the first claim, and then I can allow the application, or they can challenge me again the second time. At that point, they have a couple options. They can either file what's called a continuing application, basically file again, and they can try again for another 2 times, or they can take me to the board and challenge my rejection. And the panel of 3 judges will then review the application and the rejection, and they make a decision. And at that point, if my decision is maintained, and then they can go to the next level and eventually all the way up to the Supreme Court, technically. So it's quite involved, sorry.
Yeah, it seems like a very complicated process.
It's a long process. So like I said, patents are currently allowed 20 years from filing, and the typical prosecution period can be like 3 years, honestly. So it could take a very long time since you filed it has been issued. That's why they give you 20 years, because you may have only effectively like 17 years of effective use of the patent.
The last couple of questions I have are relating to your best advice for different groups of people. So first question, what is your best advice to a junior or senior in high school, or maybe just starting off college, that's considering like a similar profession to yours? but isn't exactly sure that's what they want to do, but they're exploring the different options.
I think the best advice I can provide is to just try a lot of different things. So for example, I think one of the questions I was asked when I applied or when I was interviewed for the position was, when I was younger, like I said, high school, middle school, did I hold any kind of job or position you think that would help me in the current position as a patent examiner? And my answer to that question was, I was a referee when I was aged between 12 to 15. So part of that was I had to make decisions as a referee, whether the ball went out, whether it was a foul. So with the current job, I only have about a day and a half to do one application, which is a relatively short amount of time. So I have to be able to make decisions quickly. And I think the more experiences and the more things you do when you're younger, they definitely help you when you're older and trying to choose a career path. Because a lot of things may transfer over that you may not be aware of. But I think just having different experiences would definitely be a big plus. So don't limit yourself to just, let's say you want to be MD, don't just stay strictly on that path. Try to color a little outside the lines, try to do other experiences and try to be a little more well-rounded. I think that would help you with your career choices later on.
Do you have any final thoughts or comments to share before we end the podcast?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I think the patent office is a great place to work if anybody wants to go work at the patent office. Like I said, the flexibility is great. And yeah, the federal government is a good place to work. So I have no complaints about that. Other than that, like I said, thank you for having me.
Thank you again for your time and for the valuable advice. I really appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your time with this podcast. I really appreciate it. Please be sure to check out pathfinder101.com for more content like this. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.